God has given us the ability to work and labor, and this is the way He supplies our needs, and He knows we have need for food and shelter and clothing and other things. The Sermon on the Mount reflects that. But what our Lord is saying here is very important. See, what He's saying is, don't just do that. Don't just work for food. But realize that while you're working for food, God can be at work with you. And that will produce work that changes the world, changes you and changes the world. Your very labor to earn food can be also the time when God is working through you. This is what He's saying here. And let that be your goal, and not merely earning money to buy food. For look how He goes on. Then they asked Him, "What must we do to do the works of God?" Now surely that's what's a hunger that lies at every heart, the bottom of every heart. What can we do to do the works of God? Everybody wants power. We want to be able to relate to God and do what He wants done in this world. We sense that there is fulfillment. There is power. There is effectiveness. There is meaning in life. And so these people, sensing that, said to Him, "What must we do to do the works of God?" Now Jesus' reply is very significant. He said, "The work of God is this, to believe in the One whom He has sent." And the word "believe" here is not just a single act. It doesn't mean just believe once and become a Christian. It's really the continuous tense. It means to keep on believing in the One that He sent. And for that One is able to work through you. What He's really saying here is that no man can do God's work. Only God can do God's work. If you want God's work done, it takes God to do it. And the joy of the Christian life is that through our faith in Christ, He provides God with you to do His work while you're working. Whether it's working in your house or working at your work or your shop or school or office or wherever it may be. What is the work of God? I think if you asked many people today that question, they'd say, well, it's to do miracles. God is a miracle-working God. We hear this stressed everywhere today. God works miracles. Jesus worked miracles. He healed the sick, He raised the dead, He opened the eyes of the blind. That's the work of God. Well, now, that was the work of God. No question about it. But that isn't what our Lord is referring to here. Because, as He makes clear, this is not something that man can do. It's the work of God is not to go around doing startling miracles so that people see those things. That's what people think they are today. But miracles are something that other powers can effect within us too. The Scripture warns that the devil and his agents are able to do miracles. So miracles alone, you see, never constitute a sign of God at work. It could be something else. Well, then what is the work of God? The answer is, it's to change people. That's what God's here for. That's what He sent the Lord for, to change people. To take a impatient, aggressive businessman who's out only to make money for his own purposes and to advance his own style of living, and change him into a compassionate, patient man who learns how to think of others and to work for their good as well as his own. Now, that takes power. The work of God is to take a shrewish, mean-tempered woman who yells at her kids and screams at her husband and turn her into a patient, loving wife who loves her husband and her family and who learns how to handle them in love. That's the work of God. Do you know that the nations of this earth have been laboring for centuries to find a power that can do those simple things? And that's what's been wrong with this. Nothing has been able to do it. All our vast, expensive educational systems do not do this. We've got ample testimony of that, haven't we? What does it? It's the God at work in a human being, changing them, making them anew, new and fresh and different, and helping them to act in ways that they ordinarily would not act. That's the work of God. Now, these people went on to ask some questions. They said, well, what sign do you give us? You tell us that you're going to do this, all right, then give us a sign. We want a miracle. Now, they just had had a miracle. It's amazing to me that they'd asked for this sign in the face of the feeding of the 5,000. But that's how insatiable the desire for miracles is. It's never satisfied. And these people asked for a sign. And they said, they gave the Lord a little hint what kind of sign they'd like. Our forefathers ate manna in the desert. Moses did that. Now you claim you're so great and you're greater than Moses. Moses fed us in the wilderness. What sign do you give? Now again, this is almost incredible after he'd fed the 5,000. But that's what they asked for. And Jesus said, well, you're wrong. You're wrong in two ways. It wasn't Moses that gave you the manna in the wilderness. It was God. He used Moses. See, Moses was just a man. He was an instrument of God. But it's God who gave you the bread in the wilderness, not Moses. And second, you're wrong in that you think what you need is bread, is manna. That's not what you need. What you need is me, Jesus said. You need my life in you. That's what you need. And if you understood that, then you'd realize that your efforts to earn a living can be the basis and the platform for you being an available instrument to do the work of God right where you are. You see, that's not talking about anything to do here in church. It's something you do through the week. That's when God is interested in you doing the work of God. And it's by learning this great fact. Now he puts it very clearly in verse 53. He says, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That sounds like he's turning us all into cannibals, doesn't it? Eat flesh and drink blood. But that's why we have a communion service. Not because, as some people would teach, these things are turned into the flesh and the blood of Jesus. They're not turned into anything. They remain bread and grape juice or wine. But they are symbols of what he was talking about. See? If you do not eat his flesh and drink his blood all week long, you have no life in you. God's not at work in you. That's what he's saying. Well, how do you do that? Now, if you turn back to verse 35, you see, 35 and 53 are the same digits. You just transpose them. Back in 35, he's explained what he means by eat and drink. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. All right? When are you not hungry? When you've eaten. Right? That's really the only time when you're not hungry. Most people are a little bit hungry about an hour after they've eaten. Start raiding the refrigerator. So on. So that hunger returns pretty fast. But when you've just gotten up from a full meal, you're no longer hungry. Jesus says, he who comes to me will no longer be hungry. Therefore, he's eaten. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. When are you never thirsty? When you've just drunk, isn't it? Therefore, he says, he who believes in me has already drunk of me. Now that's what eating and drinking means. Come and believe is what he's symbolizing by eat and drink. Come to me. Think about me. Realize that I'm with you and able to work in you and through you. And change your attitude right where you are. And then believe on me. Change it and do it. And I'll be there to make it work. That's what he's saying. Now that's the most radical principle ever released among men. That's what Christianity is all about. That'll change your life. You start living that way. Not just here, but all through the week at home and wherever you are. You'll be a different person. More and more so as you learn that principle. Come and believe. Come and believe. All week long. Confronted with any demand, instead of reacting according to the way you feel, you react according to the way he says. You show love and patience and forgiveness and understanding and tenderness, whatever the need may be, on the basis that he is ready to work through you and make it work. You see how he puts that in verse 57? Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. Jesus was eating and drinking the Father all the time. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. That's us. So you and I, eating and drinking him, coming and believing in him all the time, will live because of him.